grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning at verse 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, in this chapter of 1 Kings, we read how God has been providing for Elijah in the unlikeliest of places and in the unlikeliest of ways. In order to call his people to repentance for chasing after false gods, God had kept it from raining. And as a result of this drought, there was little food and no water in the whole area. But by the brook Kidron, God sustained Elijah's life by using ravens to bring him food. But then the brook dried up too. God then sent Elijah to the heathen village of Zarephath, to the home of a widow and her son. When we first meet the widow and her son, they are on the verge of starving to death, about to eat their last meal. The cupboard was bare. What does Elijah do? Elijah asked the widow for a drink. As she went to get some water, he added, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." At this point, Elijah, acting as God's spokesman, makes an amazing promise to the widow. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. This promise called on the widow to trust in God's word alone, when it was the opposite of what her eyes told her was true. This is an example of faith as defined in Hebrews 11. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. On the strength of the prophet's promise alone, she used up the last of her flour and oil to make him a meal. And God kept his word spoken by the prophet, providing food every day for this widow, her son, and their house guest, Elijah. And this continued on for many days, and all seemed to be going well for them until suddenly the widow's son became seriously ill. Soon he died. Talk about disasters. First possible starvation, then the unexpected death of her son. How tragic, how traumatic. Blinded by grief, the widow said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God?" The widow's response to her son's death is not unusual. Anger is one of the stages of grief. The widow directed her anger toward God and his prophet. Why had the God who had promised life now brought death to her household? After all, she had trusted God's promise to sustain her life and the life of her son until he sent rain upon the land. Then anger gave way to guilt. What had she done to deserve this? She figured she must have done something wrong to make God angry with her that he was now punishing her for. But the Bible assures us that that's not how God operates with his people, those who trust in Jesus as their Savior. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus healed the man born blind, he said that the man wasn't born blind because of any specific sin of his or his parents, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And that is what we also see in our lesson today. Sickness and death are constant reminders that we are living in a sinful world, that the perfection of Eden is gone, that we personally need a savior from sin and death. Death was not part of God's original intent for the world he had made. Death is not a natural part of life, part of a so-called circle of life. Rather, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. So where do we turn for help? When my car breaks down, I go to someone who can fix it. Because we live in a sinful world, our bodies break down and finally will die. God is the only one who can fix it. By dying himself for the cause. This is the God to whom Elijah turns to in our text. Elijah carries the widow's son upstairs and lays him on his bed. Then he cries out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Stretching himself out on the boy three times, Elijah makes a bold request. "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." Elijah asked God to perform such a work as the world had never seen before. This boy died when his soul left his body, when there was no breath left in him. Elijah now asked God to raise this boy from the dead, to rejoin the boy's body and soul back together again. God heard the prayer of Elijah and restored the child to life. God does his work in the unlikeliest of places and in the unlikeliest of ways. He is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. God, who created all life, who breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life at the beginning, gave new life to the dead body lying on Elijah's bed. "Look, your son is alive," Elijah could announce. God's spokesman in the New Testament church can announce something even greater. We can tell all those who grieve, "Look, God's son is alive. His death was a payment for your sin. His resurrection proves that even death has lost its sting. Jesus has taken the cause of death, our sin, upon himself so that we are forgiven. And Jesus has taken the penalty of sin, our death, upon himself so that we do not die eternally. Through faith, Jesus shares this victory over death, his resurrection, with us, so that even though we die, yet shall we live. The widow now knew this and believed this for herself. She had seen the proof with her own eyes. With heartfelt joy, she said, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. God's word gives life to the dead, replacing doubt with faith." This great miracle of faith, God in his mercy creates in the unlikeliest of places the sinful human heart. This is no less a miracle than calling the dead back to life, because by nature we are dead in trespasses and sin. Yet in the unlikeliest of ways, through the word and holy baptism, the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, creates in us a new heart, calling us to faith. And through the same life-giving word, Jesus promises, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." These words assure us of God's love and abiding presence. Through our crosses and trials, God wants to help us make him the center of our life and to hope in his love and mercy, replacing doubt with faith. Through faith, we are able to say with this widow, "Now I know that the word of the Lord is truth. I know that all of Scripture, all of its promises are true. They are mine, and nobody can take them from me." May we, by God's grace, come to live in this certainty of faith through all our crosses and trials. God gives life to the dead. In this confidence of faith, we will then ever be ready for tomorrow and the next day and the next, until we finally rest in the unending day of heaven. Amen. O Lord, great prophet in word and deed, visit us with your redemption, heal our diseases, cleanse us from our sins, and give us hope in the resurrection of the dead, that by your holy inspiration we may glorify you and serve you in confidence and peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.